Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Just arriving here too, Sergio. So Grace, Sherry, Sergio, the ones I can see so far. Others here, I see that you're here. I haven't turned on your camera yet. So for those who have arrived on time or almost on time, I was almost late myself. I forgot that we were starting at 5:02 instead of on the hour. I just want to take a couple of minutes of questions. So this is part two of our Yoga for Entrepreneurs Day, and this is our section where we're going to be doing just some gentle movements. So you can actually take this, the asana part of yoga, into your life to as great an extent as you choose. So let's just start with any questions that you might have or any aha. So just a minute or two as people are arriving, what would you like to share? Aha's questions. Yeah, Sherry.
So I think what I've become very present to during the break was that even though today seems to be less intense than yesterday, it's equally as intense, but at a different, for more gentle level.
Nice notice. Yeah, both energies are required. So the high ticket virtual retreat, I was almost thinking, to be honest, as I set them up, it's like we almost ought to do this first and then the other next, but I don't think so, because if we're actually going to take the actions of the high ticket virtual retreat and make them effective and take the steps and be that eye of the storm and allow our minds to not take us out, I think the order is perfect. I didn't think so at first. I haven't done this before, as I say, and I put this day in with when I could put it in, which is the day after. But afterwards, I was thinking, no, that's perfect. Yeah, and they are very different energies, and the yogis even have words for that. And we'll talk about some of those words this afternoon. So we need to the yogis would teach us we need to be able to harness all the different energies of our humanness, put it that way. And there's some energies that are like this, and there are energies that are like lying down. There's an energy that are somewhere in the middle and calm and centered. And it's not that we always want to be in one energy. We need to be able to access those different energies. So thanks for that subtle level of notice of the energetics of these days. I had that in mind as I was setting up both yesterday and then this morning. So thanks for picking up that level of what's going on in the structure of things. Yes. Other questions or comments? Okay, well, we've got a smaller bunch here so far. For Did I scare people off that we're going to be moving? Or maybe they just haven't arrived yet. And also, oh, okay, Aaron, I'm here, but away from a keyboard and microphone. Okay, so Aaron, you can see, that's fantastic. So, and I see you here, Sheila and Michelle and Yvonne, and so I just don't see you here, but I can see you here. So, let me see. A couple of things that I want to say before we begin to move. I want to teach you one of these 15 words that I talked about. There's the kleshas and then the yamas and the niyamas, five each for 15 words I'll teach you this afternoon. And the one that I want to teach you, I mentioned it earlier today, but I want to underline it here. That's ahimsa. And what it means, it's one of the yamas. Again, one of the ethical principles that we live by, ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming. And in this practice where we start to move a little bit this afternoon, I want you to practice ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming toward your own body. So this is a part where we start to move our bodies, and I want you to, so hopefully you've filled out the survey because you've told me about any health issues that you have. Are there any others? It could be that you filled out the survey last night and heaven forbid, but you slipped and fell today or something like that. Are there other issues that you've not mentioned to me in the health forms that I should know about? Any health issues that you want to mention here? Okay, you're good. Thank you. So again, make sure you filled out the waiver too to be here and to be here throughout the whole day. So I'll take that in your integrity. Another one of these ethical principles that we live by, satya, truthfulness. Please make sure you filled out the waiver. And that just basically to me, the waiver says you're going to take care of your own body, mind, spirit as we practice. So Grace, can I repeat? Ahimsa, was that the piece that you wanted me to repeat? ahimsa, be nonviolent, non-harming, toward your own body as you practice, right? And then also make sure that you've filled out the waiver. And oh my goodness, you've all rearranged. All right. Anything else I want you to know? Ahimsa, listen to your body more than you listen to my words. So if something doesn't feel right, trust that. This is going to be a super gentle practice today. I've taught yoga virtually before, but I don't usually do it anymore. And I have taught it usually only in private sessions. So this again is really, really new to me. So bear with me as I do that. I have taught, I'll tell you just a little bit again, and just to give people just another minute to arrive. I have taught yoga, an Iyengar yoga for many, many years. And I taught at the oldest yoga studio in town, the most established yoga studio. I've also taught at the only Iyengar studio in my city. I'm in Calgary. It's the fourth largest city in Canada, and with a vibrant Iyengar community. And for many years, I taught the highest level classes at the oldest studio in town. So we're not going to do that today, but just to give you some idea of my background for guiding you through this. I mentioned this morning that it takes 6 years in Iyengar yoga to get to the first level of certification. I'm at the third level. So it took 10 years and more. And it's a very intensive training. I can tell you that it's because I have done a PhD. It's like doing a PhD. It's not that different. It's a highly, highly intensive practice to become certified as an Iyengar teacher. And it's very different than some other forms of yoga. Some of my students have come to me and said, will you please sign this form to say that I've been taking your yoga class for a month or whatever, because I need to have that behind me because I'm going to become a yoga teacher, because I'm doing a month-long intensive and I'm going to be a yoga teacher a month from now. And for us, it takes 6 years. And I do know some other teachers too. They've done, it's a kind of buyer beware in the yoga community, because one acquaintance who went on to do more training of her own accord did her yoga teacher training in a week-long intensive. So there are very different people with very different backgrounds who are saying they're yoga teachers, and the Iyengar system is the most rigorous system of certification that exists that I know of on the planet. And it's really truly a lifelong endeavor. My teachers are working on their next level of assessment after, you know, 20 and 30 and more years of practice. So that's something of my background. And when I taught those most intensive classes that I used to teach, we would begin in headstand and then variations, headstand, and then you'd bring your legs down and then you twist, and then we'd do shoulder stand and we'd begin the class that way. We're not going to do that remotely here. I've also taught restorative classes where we don't get up off the floor and everything in between. So just something about my background in teaching yoga. And Iyengar yoga, again, pioneered the use of props. I made this practice that we're going to do, this gentle practice, as something you can do in your living room. I'm in my living room. And normally we practice on a mat. But when I started yoga, I don't recommend this. When I started in my living room without a mat. I didn't even know what the mat was for. The mat so you don't slip, right? But I've designed this so we don't even need a mat. I practiced for the first 6 months without one. but regularly, you ought to have a mat. So if you're jumping into a posture, for instance, you know, your feet don't slip. Anything else? I want to teach you as well in this short practice we'll do today. We'll go to 1 o'clock or just a little later, not too much later, and we'll make sure we have good breaks today. I want to show you how to use the pieces of what's around you, whether you are, I've done yoga asana, the yoga postures at yoga retreats and classes and classes I've taught and in my living room and at folk festivals and in airports and in hotel rooms. And I've done yoga in the park. I've done yoga everywhere. And many interesting conversations have emerged from that. So I want to show you how you can use some everyday things to help you move and feel better in your body. So anything else that I need to tell you about the practice itself? I'm not going to teach this right now. I usually, at some point in the Mexico retreat, teach this to you so you can bring it home. I'm just going to tell you it, but we're not going to do it as we're moving. When we move, I just want to move. One of your forms asked, are we going to do handstands? Hi. Are we going to do handstands in In Mexico. Thanks for that question. And if you want to, yeah, absolutely, I can teach you handstands. So it doesn't mean that anyone who doesn't want to has to do that. But I taught one of my Wellspring students. He was in my writing workshop for people living on the cancer journey, and he knew that he was months away from death, and he did his first handstand in a 3-day retreat that I taught, and we did it in the first couple of hours, and he was up in a full arm balance, a full handstand, and because he asked me, and so I helped him do that. And the next day I said, well, and he was skin and bones, you know, like, and some people wouldn't have taken him up, but I knew that he could do it. And the next day I said, how are you doing, Chris? He's like, he was just glowing. He was so happy. He's like, I'm great. I'm a little sore, but I'm so happy. And when I, a few months later, was at his funeral, people were coming up to me and telling me how they told him about it and how meaningful it was to him that he could do that, you know, months before he died. He was very, very, very ill. So I'm not saying that if you're very ill, you should go up. I'm not saying anything, but if you want to, and I deem it to be safe, right? I'll talk to you about it. I can help you get up and handstand if you want in Mexico. Yes, the answer is yes. Anything else that I need to speak? Listen to your body more than you listen to my words. Have fun. If I suggest that we're still in a posture, but your body says no, then don't do it. If you know you have an issue, like there's different things that you guys have brought collectively forward for me. There's, elbow issues and shoulder issues and knee issues and back issues and different things that you got going on. You have been moving your body for many years, so don't do anything that doesn't feel right to you. And then I may give some particular cautions. If you've got a neck issue, don't bring your neck up this way. Just keep it straight in anything that we're doing. If you have a low back issue, for ever doing a forward bend, you don't need to bend forward. You can stay upright is what's recommended. And because I'm doing this virtually, I really need to trust you. You'll take care of your own bodies and keep it super extra gentle. All right. Let's get going. And what I'm going to do, I've set up here so that I can stand and you can see me. And then I'm going to turn up the sound and you're going to have to let me know because I'll have to take the headphones off, I think, to be able to do this. And what I should have done is I probably could have connected this up with Bluetooth or something. I didn't even think of that. I thought I'd just use a speakerphone. So we'll see if that works. And if you can't hear me well, then what I'll end up doing probably is moving and then coming back to talk to you. But I'm hoping that I'll be loud enough that I can speak to you. And we've done this sometimes, you know, I don't know. We didn't do this last year. I don't know if we'll do it this year. Probably not. But we've done yoga on a beach in Mexico where the waves are so loud, people can't hear my voice anyway. And we all just have fun doing it. So, just take care, be gentle with your body, do less rather than more, and take the general shape of it. And I guess there's one more thing that I want to teach you. In Iyengar yoga, there are three principles, and they come in this order: mobility, stability, alignment. Mobility, stability, alignment. So we learn to move our bodies first. Then we learn to be stable. From moving them, but we lose our balance a little bit, we can catch ourselves. Then we learn to stand on one foot, for instance, and be stable in that, right? So mobility first, and then stability, and then alignment. And in Iyengar yoga, alignment is very important. I talked about the knee being aligned, for instance, and avoiding the pains of the future. I want to be, using my body into my 120s, if in the grace of the universe I live that long. So I want to move my body in healthy and strong, appropriate ways. And Iyengar yoga is fabulous for being able to do that. But the alignment comes after mobility and stability. So as we're not going to hold very long. Later on, we hold a pose for 10 minutes or longer. We're just going to keep moving, and you come out of it sooner if you need to. And because we learn mobility and stability first, I'll teach you a couple of points of alignment as well. The ones that I think are really important, I'll teach you the base standing posture. And one teacher once asked their students, will you, it was a group of very experienced students and teachers, said, well, what pose do you want to learn better? Because I'll teach you anything and it doesn't matter how complicated. And one person said, I want to learn Tadasana. Will you really show me? That's my hardest pose, just standing. So I'll make sure we know how to stand by the end of the practice, right? The other thing that I want to tell you, so mobility, stability, alignment, and then I'll teach you this, but just in theory. I'm not going to walk you through it the way we might in Mexico. But if you, one of you asked, could I do a 15-minute routine that I could bring home? Can you teach me that? That was one of your comments, things you'd like for yoga. So I want to teach you the acronym SHUT. We're just going to be walking, but I'll tell you that all the things in the practice that we're going to do has the aspects of a shut in it. Shut is an acronym. You can think of it as like, I'm going to shut the door, do my practice, I'm going to have my own space to myself. And shut stands for something for the shoulders, S, something for the hips, H, those are the two big joints in the body, shoulders, hips. U stands for something upside down. So we always want to do that in the practice. It could be something simple, like putting our legs up the wall. All right, so something simple upside down. So shoulders, hips, upside down. T stands for three movements of the spine. There are three ways, essentially, that we can move our spine to keep the spine healthy. Back bends, twists, and forward bends. Shoulders, hips, upside down. T for three movements of the spine. And then we do Shavasana. If you do those things, you'll have a whole practice. And in this community, there's one person that I've asked me for that. I gave her a 5-minute practice where she gets all those aspects in. And you're not going to have the same as if you do a 2-hour practice, but every complete yoga practice will have all of those pieces in it. All right. Any questions? Anything that you want to say? Anything bubbling, bursting up to be said without which we can't go forward? All right. So, Yvonne, was that a hand?
Yeah, just a twist, back bend, and which one was the other one again?
So the first one is back bend, and then it's twist, and then it's forward bend. Okay, those are the three movements of the spine. Good. Anything else? And you don't have to remember any of that, but I just wanted to give you a structure so that you could bring it home. I won't be noting when we're doing it, but we're going to do all those movements gently. Anything else? Okay, so let's see. Again, this is new to me. Super excited to be doing this with you. I've wanted to do this for many years, and so happy that it's with you. So what happens if I turn up the sound? I know the sound won't be as good, so apologies for that. Oh, there, and it turned up my sound. So can you, if you can hear me, nod. Yes, can you hear me? Okay, and then let's see what happens if I step back here. If I'm speaking up, can you still hear me? Nod yes if you can hear me. Okay, fantastic. Yay, thank you. All right, so just before we start to move, I almost forgot. I want you to go get a prop for me, all right? So I'll show you all the props that we use through a little bit in the practice, and then later on, you can't see my head. That's funny. So I'll show you the props. Oh, wait, I'll just kneel here and I can be closer up. I'll show you the props that we use, like as we're doing the practice a little bit. But what I'm going to ask you to go get right now is make sure you have a pillow or two or a couple blankets beside you. And then one other thing. It can either be one of these three things. Let me show you. So in Iyengar yoga, we use straps like this. But you don't need to have that. If you've got a strap, you can go get it. Or if not, one of these household things you probably will have. You could use your belt, right? Just an everyday, ordinary belt. You could use a towel. You could use a scarf. One that you don't mind like stretching and, you know, like not your most delicate scarf. This is a scarf that I actually bought when I was in Mexico a couple of years ago, because I forgot to bring my strap with me. My strap comes with me on every trip that I'm on, but I forgot to bring it. So I went to the hotel. I was with my friend Jennifer, and we were taking a week-long intensive for our businesses and also some quiet time for ourselves, and I didn't have my strap. So I went to the gift shop at the hotel and bought this scarf. And I used this scarf as my belt as my yoga belt for a week. So you can use props that you have at home. So take a minute right now. I'll just pause the recording for 1 minute and go in find one of those things that can substitute for a belt. So find a blanket, a couple of pillows, and maybe, and if you don't have it, don't worry. We'll figure it out, all right? So do you have a blanket, a couple of pillows, a belt, a towel? If you don't have anything, oh, well, let it go, all right? Yay, exactly, perfect. So 1 minute. Yes, Sherry, I see your belt, beautiful. You got it. Whatever you've got, just let it go. It's going to be perfect. And this isn't what my notes say. My notes say that we're going to start standing, but often you're already sitting at your desk, right? And maybe your body starts to cramp up and you've been sitting there for a long time. So I'm going to start us seated. So sit in a comfortable position, whatever chair you're on, and if you're, I want your thighs, I know you can't see my thighs here, we're just going to have to use imagination here, right? I want your thighs to be parallel, so you have to listen to my words. A friend of mine teaches for the blind, so after she really has to rely on her words. So I want your thighs to be parallel to the floor. So notice, if your knees are up higher than your groins, then sit on one of your pillows or sit on a blanket so that the thighs are parallel to the floor. And I like to sit when I'm turning my chair into a yoga chair at the front edge of my chair. So sit a little further forward.
So what if your knees are lower? Sit
far enough back so you won't hit your computer when you do this, right? So if you can push yourself back a little bit and feel the groundedness through the legs, right? So feel as though the feet have roots that ground you, that draw deep into the earth. It's like that, you know, in Shavasana, there's a dissolution between the hands and the earth beneath. It's like we become one, right? Connected. Well, here we're feeling that deep rooted connection as though the feet have roots. Can you actually, my feet start tingling. I can feel that. If you can't feel anything, don't worry about it. It's fine. It develops, right? So groundedness, rootedness. And the same, can you feel that there's equal weight on both sit bones? And you can, as you're sitting, you can take the flesh of the buttocks, use the hands, take the flesh of the buttocks, move it slightly back into the side so that you're sitting more upright. And it actually changes how we feel when we're sitting. If you can't notice it, release it again, right? And there's a sinking through the center. See if you can start to find that level of subtlety in your body. When you haven't done that, it's like the abdomen sinks. And now take the flesh of the buttocks back into the side. If you're in a really soft chair, you might not be able to feel it. But some of you, can you feel that? That there's a greater uprightness through the spine and the abdomen stops dropping. Can anyone feel that? If you can feel it, raise your hand. Yeah, quite a few of you can feel it. Fantastic. So how we sit will change the energy. Yes, you can feel it. Good. How we sit changes the energy that we have. I love that the sunlight is beaming in through Sheila's window. Oh my goodness, how perfect is that? So groundedness through the legs, equal weight on both sit bones. Now place the arms just out in front of you. Shoulders go down. And actually, before we do this, let the arms go. And I just want you to roll the shoulders back and down. So roll the shoulders back and down and lift and open the heart center. Now, it's not a thrusting forward of the chest. It's not a military thrust. It's just a lift of the sternum bone up in a vertical line. And then we lift. You can actually do this like what farmers pose, right? Like so. So you're lifting what we call the armpit chest. That part we tend to hide to make ourselves safe, but it's not safe. We got to open to the world, open the heart center, all right? So keep that heart center lifted and open. And now move the tailbone down. So make space through the low back, just like we do when we're moving the flesh of the buttocks to the heels in Shavasana. Often our low back is overarched. So I'm going to reduce the arch. I still have an arch. I'm going to reduce the arch of the low back and bring your weight to center. So I'm neither leaning forward nor back. The body is exactly upright. So there's a lot of details simply in sitting. Now from that place where there's groundedness through the legs, equal weight on both sit bones, the lift through that core of the body from the navel up to the sternum bone and through as though a golden spring were drawing the crown of the head to the sky, shoulders back and down. From this place, raise the arms parallel to the floor. And so the arms are sort of parallel to each other and parallel to the floor. Again, draw the shoulders back and down. Dig those shoulder blades into the back, bottom tips of the shoulder blades move into the back. And if we're standing here like this and something doesn't feel good in your shoulder, release your arms down. And if you're Sergio and you're in your car, you're just going to adapt, right? And don't forget to have fun with it, all right? When we put our arms overhead, you might put them to the side. You might reach them upward. I don't know. You'll figure it out, all right? Or you'll hold the elbows, maybe, Sergio, all right? So inhale and raise the arms up overhead. Sergio, you could be like this. You could hold the elbows if you want. That's it, all right? So shoulders are down. The arms roll toward the face. So both of the arms roll toward the face. Elbows
outer elbow draws toward the inner elbow and lift. So feel like all the way through the side waist, lift up so you grow taller. Skater face. You know how skaters twirl and their face looks so soft and quiet? They're just like relaxed as they're doing this triple jump. So the face is soft. Eyes soft, eyes directly forward. And then exhale down. Hands just rest on your thighs where the elbows can release down below the shoulders. And just feel the effect on your shoulders. What do you notice? Does anything feel different? Yeah, you can feel it already. One move, seated properly, and there's more breath, there's more space. Shoulders may feel a little more open. Now I want you to repeat that move. And this time you're going to take your makeshift belt. We use props in yoga sometimes to go more deeply into the posture, always to create space. Sometimes because we don't have, you know, stereotypical Indian bendy bodies. And so we need the prop to help us out. In this case, is to go deeper into the posture. I just want you to hold the belt. And again, it's shoulder distance apart. If you've got tight shoulders, you might be holding it a little further. And you're going to use, maybe you got a shirt, if you don't, or your sock, I don't know. Be inventive, right? Yoga has creativity to it too. Shoulders draw down. Bottom tips of the shoulder blades move into the spine, shoulders into the back. The shoulder blades move into the back. So open, lift and open the chest from that back body. Now reach the strap out, but keep the shoulder in its socket. Do you understand what I'm saying? The shoulder bone moves, the arm bone moves into the socket. And imagine that you've got compression screws that are compressing the outer shoulders toward each other. And now inhale up, lift, 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 and push that strap up to the sky. Lift it up. Shoulders stay in the socket. Shoulder bone stays in the socket. Or arm bone stays in the socket. Elbows draw toward each other and lift. Can you push that strap away? What if everything you wanted in your company was just 1 inch up above you? Can you make space between the ribs, more space? Get shoulder issues, you might be down here. Like don't, no pain, right? Pain is a signal. Don't stay there, right? And then slowly release. Notice the difference. How do the shoulders feel? And then one more time without the prop. And that same reaching that we got as we reach the prop away, inhale up in your own time. And can you find that same length that you found with the prop, but without the prop this time? Yeah, and Sergio, you could have the arms bend, you could have them straight, whatever works for you. You're doing great. Breathe. Sometimes my eyes are moving around because I'm looking at you, but I want you to be looking straight forward. Eyes stay soft. Shoulders release down. Oh, chest is lifted and open. And then yes, exhale down. Place the fingertips, like itsy bitsy spider fingertips, like so on your chair, right? So they're gonna go down like this, behind, sort of beside your buttocks, slightly behind perhaps. Move a little bit back, will you see my chair? Like so. So shoulders roll back and down and the elbows draw toward each other. So I'm not here in computer slouch, I'm here, right? Press into the fingertips. And then if your neck allows, the head can go back. If you've got neck issues, the head stays forward. And all I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do a mini back bend. I'm lifting and opening the heart center to the sky. And if I'm lifting through the neck, it is not like a straw that only bends in one place. It's like those bendy straws that create a curve. The opening comes from the upper back. So shoulders back and down, less is more. It's like when you're in the shower and you just go, ah. Keeping the back of the neck long. And then slowly release back to center. Take a breath here, hands release onto the legs. And just notice what you're feeling. Back bends increase energy. If you do a whole back bend class, you'll feel like you had 3 cappuccinos. Can you feel that? And then twice more in your own time. So again, shoulders back and down. Lift and open the heart center. Do two more times in your own time. Three breaths and release. Three breaths and release. Make sure, Sheila, the back of the neck is long, long through the back of the neck. Yeah. Same, Sherry. Not so much. Don't try so hard, right? So more length through the back of the neck. Make it long. The opening comes through the upper back. Do a couple times in your own time. And when you return, does the chest sink? Or can you keep that chest lifted and open as you return to center? Once you've done two, just sit. Can you just be, just as we are in Shavasana, just be? And I know I'm further away. If my voice starts to fade away and you can't hear me, speak up and let me know so I'll speak louder, okay? Then from here, inhale and lift. Exhale, turn to the right side. Am I still mirror imaging you? Will that be? Yeah, turn to the right side. That's it. And lift the whole spine. Lift both sides of the torso and then turn from the navel first. If you have major low back issues, you're just going to turn the top, all right? Otherwise, you can turn from the navel first. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn from the navel. Then inhale, lift. Exhale, turn the low ribs. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn the chest and shoulders. Finally, the head comes around last. Then inhale, lift. Exhale, turn back to the center. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn. Virad Vajrasana on a chair, twisting posture. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn from the navel. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn. Low ribs. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn. Chest and shoulders. Keep working with the breath. Every time you inhale, lift. Every time you exhale, turn. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn. Inhale, lift. Exhale, return to center. Feel the breath. Close your eyes for a moment. Notice the effect of the postures on your breath, on the opening of the chest, on the shoulders, on the mind. Softly open your eyes. When you open your eyes, let the gaze be soft. Often we're trying to pull the light in. Instead, the gaze is soft, it's unfocused, it's straight ahead of you, not pushing or pulling with the eyes, just being. And then come to standing and set your chair aside or whatever you need to do to come to a standing position. When I come talk to you, I'll talk to you. I'm probably a little clearer when I'm up close. So I'll talk to you for a little bit as you're standing. And then I'm going to go back and show you what the posture looks like to do Tadasana. Tadasana is called, is translated as mountain posture. It's the base standing posture. It's the posture from which all the other postures arise. Then we're going to do a couple other standing postures, and we're just going to play and have fun with them. You might not be able to hear all my words. Just follow the basic shape of my body, all right? And always listen to your body more than you listen to my words. So in Tadasana, we always begin, and with all the postures, we begin from the base first. So are my legs strong? And then I work the way up the body, tucking the tailbone, lifting the heart center, and so on. So I'm going to show you what that looks like. So I start, can you still hear me? Thumbs up if you can hear me. Okay, good. Yay, thank you. So I start with the feet together. If that's not comfortable for you, they can be a couple inches apart. But normally in Tadasana, the feet are together and they're pointed straight forward. Now lift one heel up and then the other and make space. So the foot is spaciously on the floor and you want the weight equally distributed on the big toe mound, little toe mound, inner heel and outer heel. So feel that all four points are rounded. Actually, you can lift all the toes for a moment. Lift up all the toes and then put the toes down one at a time. I wish you could see my toes. Baby toe first. And then the rest of the toes follow. Can you put them down one at a time? And notice the fingers are probably trying to help. Whole body's connected. Right? And again, if you need to lift one heel up and then the other again, so that you can feel those four points of the feet solidly grounded. Now bend the knees for a moment. Bend the knees. And I want you to feel, I'm going to show you with my hands, but I want you to feel your knees are the right at the tops of the knees. It's like you're lifting those muscles as though you could lift the muscles of the legs all the way up, those muscles just above the knees. I know they don't work quite that way necessarily, right? But imagine that those knee muscles were lifting all the way up the thighs, right to the root of the thighs. Lift, 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 and then press the thighs back as you straighten the legs. Keep lifting right from the knees, and then press back, press the thighs back. Keep lifting up, pressing back, lifting up, pressing back, creating strength in the legs. Roll the inner thighs back. So the inner thighs roll back. I'm going to turn to the side so you can see me. I tuck the tailbone. So what that means is I bring the, lift the hip bones up, and I make space through the low back like so. Often we sit and stand like this. Puts pressure on your low back. So extend through the low back, just as we do the Shavasana on the floor. So thighs strong, tailbone down, legs strong, tailbone down. Now roll the shoulders back and down and lift and open the heart center. And the arms are reaching. So the arms are strong, the elbows are straight, the fingers can be spread. And this is Tadasana. You're looking straight forward and the mind is quiet. The face is at ease. So strong body, quiet mind, soft face. Tadasana. Now lean forward just slightly. Lean forward. And then lean back. Now lean to the right side. Lean to the left side. And now come to center. Can you find that center line as though a thread, a golden thread, were drawing the crown of the head to the sky? Tadasana. Same pose, Urdhva Hastasana. Arms out, the shoulders are down, the chest is open, shoulder blades move into the back. From the strength of the legs, lift the arms overhead. Urdhva Hastasana. Can you find the reach now all the way from the heels through the legs, through the side ribs, up through the arms, and adjust in whatever space you're in. Be happy. I practiced yoga in a place where my arms couldn't straighten for many, many years in the basement of my home. It's all good. And then extend, release the arms down, exhaling. Now interlace the hands. Press the palms out. Inhale up, same thing. Chest open, shoulders down, and then press the thumb side up especially. I'm not worried about how high the arms come up. It might only be here. Only as far as you can bring them, keeping the arms, the elbows straight. And for you, Sergio, you might be going like so. So you could just really open up the armpits and open up the shoulders. That's it.
Exhale down.
Change the interlace of the hands. So if the left pinky is down, move it one step, so now the right pinky is down. In yoga, we always create balance. Press the palms out. Inhale the arms up. Extend. Yes, exactly like that, Sergio. Good. Strength of the legs. Tuck the tailbone. Open chest. Exhale the arms down. From here, I might need to step back for you to see. We're going to keep that everything from Tadasana, but we're just going to move one leg and then move our arms up, all right? So I want you to keep the left leg absolutely firm. The left leg stays where it is. The right leg turns out. Right from the root of the thigh, the right leg turns out. And then suck the outer hips toward each other. So I'm not wonking this way or that way. I'm straight and this is sucked in. This is compacting. And place that foot wherever it comes to, either below or above the knee. It could be just on the floor. at the ankle, or if you're more experienced, if it comes up high to the top of the leg. And your balance, look at something that's steady. Don't look at me, right? Look at something that's steady right in front of you. And when you're balanced, arms go out and rotate right from the shoulders, palms turn up, and then reach the arms to the sky, just like we did in Urdhva Hastasana, Vrikshasana, tree pose. Standing leg is steady, kneecap is still lifting, the muscles above the knees lifting, thighs press back, tailbone tucked, chest lifted, and arms are reached to the sky. And then slowly release the arm down. Back to Tadasana. Notice the difference between the two sides. What's the effect of the posture? You're sitting for long periods. The legs can get sore, don't feel good. This brings energy and life back into the body, brings strength in the legs, starts that inward movement of the mind with the standing postures. And second side, I need to move a bit from my chair here. Stand in Tadasana. That right leg stays absolutely firm, kneecap, the whole thigh muscles are lifting and pressing back. Turn that left leg out, and then place the foot above or below the knee. Find your steadiness, look at something that's steady. Arms, rotate from the shoulders, inhale the arms up, Vrikshasana, tree pose. Quiet mind. Look at something that's steady. Soft breath. And slowly release the arms down. Rotate the hands right from the shoulders. Rotate from the shoulders. Release down. And see how your Tadasana has changed. Every time we do a posture, it's different. Can you feel the difference? Watch the breath. Garudasana, eagle pose. I will teach you the arms first. I'm going to come up closer so you can stay where you are, but you can probably hear me better. So I'm going to come up close where you can see my arms better, all right? So you're going to have the arms out in front of you the way you did before. Bend the arms. Lower the left arm a little. And then cross one arm over. Right? So like so, this one goes down. Elbows got cross over. Interlace the arms. For some of you, this won't happen. You might be here, that's fine. What you want to do is bring the elbows up and the shoulders down. So I'll show you from the side. Often we're here. I want to be here and here, shoulders down. Elbows up, shoulders down. Look out past the wrists. And it's like the wrists disappear as I look past them. Really great for opening up the shoulders, the upper back. Spend long hours at the computer. Garudasana arms. Release. Change the cross. So this time the right arm goes down. Interlace. If you can, interlace the hands. Shoulders down. Elbows up. Garudasana arms. If you're here, that's fine. You can also use that strap. Right? Gives you something to pull against if you've got a strap. Watch the breath. And slowly release. Release the arms down. I'll teach you the legs next, and then we'll put them together. The legs for Garudasana. And Garudasana, it's eagle pose. It brings you that, let me tell you just one thing. It brings you that clarity of focus. Eagles, they're just one-pointed focus. And so graceful. Such presence. One of my teachers says, Garudasana, it's an undertaught pose. And it's so important. She says, like, you know, the last limb of yoga is samadhi. It's like enlightenment. She says, you look out past the wrists, there you'll find samadhi. That's what one of my teachers has said. So with the legs, we begin in Tadasana first. So thighs, tailbone, chest. Now keep the, this time we'll keep the right leg absolutely firm, and then lift the left leg up. cross it over. If you're able, I'm not too worried about this right now, but eventually that foot tucks in behind, right? But I want to keep that knee, it's a hinge joint, it keeps facing forward. Be gentle here, right? You can bend down a little lower if you need to get that wrap around, and then hug the hips toward each other, tailbone is tucked, and lift up through the chest. I'm just crossing the leg over, and then release. Change the, starting Tadasana, change sides. This time the left leg is firm. Lift up the right leg, cross it over, squeeze the legs together, squeeze the hips together, tuck the tailbone, and lift the chest. Breathe. Can you just be here? Breathe. And then inhale, release. Exhale, Tadasana. Ready to put that together? You got to have a sense of humor about this. Right? Just be easy. Yes, be easy about it, all right? So starting from your best Tadasana, inhale the arms up into Urdhva Hastasana. Now keep the right leg and the right arm absolutely firm. Left arm and left leg bend toward each other. Now cross the arm over, cross the leg over. Garudasana, eagle pose. And slowly release. Inhale up. And let's go right to the second side. Keep the left side firm. Bend the right arm and leg toward each other. And then cross one arm over. Cross that other leg, cross the leg over as well. Opposite arm, opposite leg, and look out past the wrists, and there is the samadhi. Inhale up. Exhale down. How's everyone doing? All still with me? Nod if you're with me. Doing all right? Okay, good, good. All right. I want you to find the back ledge of a chair or a couch or whatever is around you. Sergio, you'll be inventive. I don't even know where you are. Are you in that car that you said you'd be in? And my legs are going to be straight up and down. Same Tadasana legs. And all I'm going to do is hinge forward. Let's see, they can still see me. Hinge forward from the hip crease. So I'm not rounding forward like computer slouch. I'm keeping the chest open. And I'm hinging forward just from the hip crease. The legs actually can be about a hip distance apart. Hinge forward. The arms go on the chair. Like so. Now, for some of you, that's going to be too much. Because you'll find that the back is rounded. If the back is rounding, I've got my cabinet here, right? So I could place my arms on a wall. It'd be up higher. Gives me more space. Can you still see that? Yeah, like so. So put the arms at the height that you need so that there's not computer slouch, that the shoulder blades are digging into the back. The bottom tips of the shoulder blades are digging into the back. You've got compression screws at the shoulders, and the upper arms are rotating toward the face. It's the opposite of computer slouch. Rotate the upper arms toward the face, and then press into whatever you're reaching into, the chair or the wall. Grow longer. The legs are firm. So lift at the kneecaps, press the thighs back. Just lift just above the kneecaps, thighs press back. Breathe. This is Ardha Uttanasana, half forward bend. No breath. To come out, walk the feet forward, bend the knees, walk the feet forward. Come on out. Still with me? Nodding? It's really fun teaching this virtually. I'm looking at you in a whole different way. All right. One of the pieces in shut is to do something upside down. So I'm going to teach you downward dog. Goodness, can we do this? Just make sure you're not on something that where your hands will slip. If you're on a slippery floor, I don't want you to go into downward dog. Instead, you're just going to go on all fours. Can you still see me? Here. Yeah. Angle this down a little bit. Yeah, so if you're on a slippery floor, you're just going to stay on hands and knees, right? Elbows, right? Arching and then releasing. Actually, we can all do this a little bit. So the exhale into the elbows, arching the spine, and then inhale. Inhale down.
Okay. Hey, Sergio. Sergio.
While we were here.
Can everybody mute their mic?
What was that, Sheila?
Can everybody mute their mic? Because every time I hear an audio, it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to mute all, so I'll mute everybody.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, everyone is muted, so if you need to unmute, just going to do that. Thanks for noticing that, Sheila. So cat-cow pose, just releasing the spine. It's not an Iyengar pose, but it's a good one. Did that when I was pregnant with my daughter. It's a beautiful thing to do to release the spine. And then for those who are on a non-slippery surface, hear my words. If you think your hands will slip, do not do this. An experienced yogi could do it on a slippery floor. But I don't want you to do it, all right? So you're in that hands and knees position, but you're going to move your hands now one hand length further forward. Try to see where you can see me the best doing this. So my hands were here. I think you can see me. I'm going to move them one hand length forward. Tuck the toes under, and then just press the chest to the thighs, straighten the legs, and press the heels down. You need to be in a place where you will not slip. You can put the hands at the wall if you need to. If you've got a mat, that's great. If you're going to slip, you're going to stay with cat-cow pose. So up into downward dog. You should be in bare feet so you won't slip. Sheila, bare feet. I see your feet. So something upside down. Press into the hands, open the armpits, and press the chest to the thighs. The sit bones go up, the outer corners of the hips go up to the ceiling. Sit bones press up to the ceiling and press the thighs back. And if you're more experienced, you can hold here. If you're less experienced, you're going to come in and out. And then slowly release down. I'll see if I can show you this. This is Adho Mukha Virasana, forward here. If you have major knee issues, you may not be doing this, or you'll place a bunch of pillows behind your thighs to give you some support, all right? The knees go apart, the toes are together. Can you see me? Legs up. I couldn't tell if you could see me or not, but Sheila's got it there. You can see Sheila. And if we were doing a more extended class, what I would say is, if your back is sloped at this level, we can see that Grace's is, for instance, right? It's sloped down. What I would want to do, and actually we might actually do that. Grace, do you have a pillow or something to put beneath your head so that your back ends up flat like we saw her at the end? Yes, Sheila's taking a bolster. That's an Iyengar prop. You put a pillow underneath, you put a scarf, whatever you've got around you, exactly, better. And I would make it even much, if we were taking longer over this, Grace, we would take even more and more and more height. For now, it's good enough. Yeah, pillows, Aaron, perfect. Forward bends are calming to the nervous system. Sheila's got it here. This is an Iyengar adjusted forward hero. It's really good, but just lengthen through the back of the neck, Sheila. More length, a little more length. Yes, that's good. Shoulder blades are moving into the back. The arms are long. Breath is quiet. Yeah, Grace is getting better. Press the buttocks to the heels. And again, if we were taking longer over this, if the buttocks were not sitting on the heels, we'd place some support there, a rolled blanket, a bolster, a couple of pillows. Sergio, I love it. You've got inventive props there. Really good. Yvonne, you're hiding. I can't see you, but we've practiced before. Take a few breaths here. Oh, yeah, I see you waving. Perfect. Breathe. Be. Just be. And then slowly, slowly release. For those who've been paying attention, we've actually done all the pieces of shut in this not long practice. I want to end with another forward bend. What we just did is in the family of poses called forward bends. And I want to do another one that you could easily do in your home. It could be on a chair. I was going to do it on this chair here. You see my black chair here? I could have done it on the couch. But whatever you've got around you, you're going to place your head on the chair, seated in front of it. Let's see where you can best see me. I'm going to show you one variation, but then I'm going to show you different variations, right? So it's going to look like this. I'm only hinging at the hip crease, just like I did in the other forward bend. And head goes here. This is the posture that I put that student in that eliminated a two-day headache in 10 minutes. There's so much power behind each of these poses, more than I can tell you in a couple minutes. Now, some people who've practiced with me at retreats are already probably getting props. If you're finding that the low back is in a C rather than in an L shape, if this is rounding because these muscles aren't strong or the hamstrings are tight or whatever it is, then you're going to want to sit on something. So I'm grabbing a blanket to sit on. I could grab a whole castle if I want to, so that I can bring that lower low back in and up. If this is too far forward, if I'm doing computer slouch, in order to get there, I'm going to place something on the chair. It's called a bolster, but it could be a rolled blanket. It could be books even, and it will look like this. So use the, what I call props, what you might call furniture around you to create the shape of your body. That's it, Grace, exactly. You see that nice long line. Do you see that of Grace's back? It's beautiful. That's what we're aiming for. It's not rounded like computer slouch. I would just say let go of the shoulders though, Grace. Can you feel that? Yes, did everyone, if you happen to be looking at that moment, she released the shoulders by a couple of inches there. Holding the weight of the world on your shoulders, letting it go, really nice. And then just breathe here. And if again your body says no for any reason, trust that. And adjust in a way that works for you. Can you have your forehead resting so that the skin of the forehead moves down? That's calming to the mind. So adjust the way that the forehead is resting so the skin of the forehead moves down. Chest is open, shoulders release down. Watch the breath. Can you simply be in the silence? Just as we practice in Shavasana, be the breath. Yes, Erin, good choice. If something isn't working, seated is fine. And then slowly inhale up, change the cross of the legs. If your legs are crossed, change the arms. So if the right arm was up, put the left arm on top instead. Yoga creates a balance in the body. We're so used to doing it one way, the other way might feel very weird. If you're not sure, just do it the way you do without thinking and then reverse it. It might feel very strange. We're so used to being unbalanced. changing the cross of the legs. Sheila, it looks like you should be sitting up higher even. Can you see how the knees are coming up? Looks like from this angle anyway. I would put more support beneath the buttocks. That's from all, I don't know if you still are doing that, all the marathons and the running that you do, it creates, like I used to do all that cycling, tight quads. So a little more support. And then watch the breath. Yeah, good, Sheila. Watch the breath. You can close your eyes here. Yeah, that's better, Sheila. And then you can decide it's good enough. We're only going to be here for a few more breaths. But Sheila, you'll know the height that you need for next time. Feel the breath. And then listen carefully. With as little movement in mind and body as possible, slowly, slowly release and come into Shavasana, final relaxation pose, corpse pose, Shavasana. Keeping the mind quiet. If you want to rest the low back, as Sheila's done, she's put her legs on a bolster. That rests the low back if you have low back issues. That could be a roll blanket. You could place your legs up on a couch or a chair. Just the calves resting on a chair. Make any adjustments you need to be comfortable. Then take comfort and find stillness. Feel the ease of breath, the quietness of the mind. Take this time for you. Let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Let the eyes
Recede back toward the back brain. Feel as though the ears recede and meet at that point of the back brain. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. Feel the breath. Be the breath. If you find any tension in the body, breathe into that spot. Let it go. Ease. Peacefulness. Joy. Quiet mind. Allow the breath to deepen. Move in whatever way feels good to you. Slowly bring your consciousness back to this room. This body. Wiggle the fingers, toes to choose. And then slowly bend the knees and roll to the right side. Support your head. Softly open the eyes. and keeping the gaze toward the floor, slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our circle. That was a first in this circle. Overjoyed that we can share this practice in our multiple different places and time zones across the earth where we are right now. We always end a yoga class with namaste, and namaste means the light in me sees and honors the light in you. It's a way of greeting each other and seeing each other at the highest level. So bringing the hands to the heart center and the fingertips point softly into the room. Right? Base of the thumbs at the base of the sternum bone. Roll the shoulders back and down. Lift and open the heart center. Namaste. Beautifully done. We will not take questions now because I want you to get to enjoy this quiet as you go into your break, into your lunch break. In Mountain Time, it is 1:10. I want this day to have spaciousness. We will take the full hour and a half, meaning we'll come back at 2:40. 2:40 Mountain Time, so in 90 minutes. Please take good care of yourself. You can quietly journal, go for a walk, eat something, lie in Shavasana, rest your head in that forward bend, it quiets the mind. Whatever will bring you calm, centeredness, peace, and your best energy, taking advantage of this quiet. And we'll come back at 2:40. I'll write it in the notes. Thank you so much. That was a beautiful practice. Thank you. See you soon.